This is Dale Cantrell, pastor of the Meridianville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for this look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's Word and God's lessons to learn and to share. Many of us at the Meridianville Holiness Church feel like God would be pleased with us sharing our faith in our community and surrounding area. I feel like if I knew the cure for cancer and did not share it, it would be like the four lepers of 2 Kings 7:9. Who proclaim we do not well to hold our peace. I hope that those in the hospital, nursing home, rehab, or wherever that can't get to get where the Word of God has been delivered in person could benefit from this message. This is not intended or meant to replace someone getting to church and hearing the Word of God in person. We would like to invite you to one of our services at the Meridianville Holiness Church. We meet at 11 a.m. on Sunday and 5 p.m. on Sunday evening. And 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. We want to turn our Bibles to the King James Version of Genesis 3, 17 through 24. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall I eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18 says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till I return into the ground. For out of it was thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also said, also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. If you've heard some of this before, I want to say not much is an original thought of mine, and I think you're going to find the same thing for you. I think it's the same with all of us. Because we either got it from our father, our mother, our teacher, our radio, our preacher, TV, or read it somewhere long ago, so long ago we can't remember where it originated. I heard about Humpty Dumpty in a nursery rhyme long ago, and I read about the fall of man. The Bible refers to it. Our church, they say Brother Dale-isms. And as if I had created it myself, but actually I've got it from somebody. I used to say, I have a saying, it was a Brother Dale-ism, and it said, if the Lord says run, walking won't do. I heard it from another man, and I started saying it because I really liked it, and I got known for that saying, so much so that a sister sent me a Christmas card, and on the Christmas card it said, if the Lord says run, walking won't do. Well, I knew where that saying originated, and it wasn't with me. So I ran into that brother, and I told him, I said, brother, I've been using a saying that I heard from you, and people's beginning to think it came from me. I just wanted to let you know about it. And he said, well, no telling where I got it from. He smiled, said, no telling where I got it from. Said, if you can use it, use it. So I'm saying to you today, if you hear something that you like on the program or you think about using it, you don't even have to call me or even mention it to me that you've used it. Just use it if it helped you in any way. To me, I told you I'd heard about Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. To me, the story of Humpty Dumpty is clearly a story about the fall of man. The egg which Humpty Dumpty represents was man. Man fell from harmony in the garden and was broken. There was peace and harmony in the garden before the fall of man and between all creatures. But after man fell, the harmony was broken. The hound began chasing the rabbit. Cats began chasing mice. Lions began eating sheep. Hawks began eating chickens. And the snake, the serpent who started it all, began chasing man, and vice versa, man was chasing the serpent. Peace was destroyed in the garden after the fall of man. God sought a way to get man back together again. He took the first step to help restore man, and he sent some men in the world. We call these men the king's men, because that's what the poem was referring to, because they were sent by the King of Kings. First of all, God sent Noah because the world needed a cleaning. Noah conducted one revival for 120 years and converted nobody but his family. Only 8 souls were saved. Later, Jonah conducted a revival, and the whole city repented. He worked on the ark by day, Noah did, but he never got one convert outside of his own family. But man didn't learn his lesson. Noah got drunk before the ground got good and dry. So even as good a man as Noah was, God could not use him. Next, he sent Moses and the law and the idea of a blood sacrifice. But before they got within a few miles from Egypt, they made a golden calf. And the law of Moses was of no avail because man kept right on sinning. Also, Moses killed an Egyptian, so God couldn't send him. God sent another man named David. David wrote Psalms and said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he also said, "God is my refuge." But would you believe that man fell into sin himself and the people kept on sinning? David was a man after God's own heart. Don't underestimate David. Oh, yes, he wrote poetry. He did. And he played a harp. That's true. But you just ask old Goliath. He was also a killer. The next king's man that was sent was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. But even his tears did not stop them. They just kept right on sinning. They made their faces harder than flint, and they refused to return to God. Isaiah, he was the silver-tongued prophet that had beautiful imitations. He told more about Jesus than any other Old Testament prophet. "Come to the waters, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Just because God don't whip you right then, don't you worry. He will catch up with you. God wants man to be in perfect harmony with him, so God kept sending men all through the Old Testament. But when he got through with the Old Testament, man was still not saved. It looked like man was doomed to be a sinner forever. And so much that God repented that he ever made man. And man just kept on sinning, no matter what God did for him. I think it was about 400 years plus that there was no writing, no preaching, no singing. Heaven was silent. I imagine after 400 years, the question arose in heaven, what are we going to do about man? They might have said, man cannot go on like this in the state he's in. We got to do something about man. So they sent Jesus, God's precious son, down to do what all the rest had failed to do. They should have left the cross and Jesus laying on the ground, because when they raised it up, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." I imagine that as Lot left the city and went up the hill, he thought to himself, "A good man is hard to find." God had told Abraham he wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if they could find a few good men. It wasn't many. They couldn't even find that many. It is hard to find a good man. If you've got a good husband, a good son, a good boss, it's a male, a man, be thankful. You can search the world over, but you're only going to find a few good men. When it came to saving the world, God just needed one good man. Abraham was not chosen either, because he told a lie one day, and God can't use a liar on his program. I'd like to turn to another scripture, 2 Peter 1. In verse 1, Peter, it says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ." He used the word precious faith. He uses precious over and over in the scripture. Paul states he's a servant and an apostle. Which one are you, Paul? Are you a servant or you're an apostle? A servant is one that serves others. To serve for a person or an organization. There's a great demand for servants, but there's not much supply. There's not many people that want to be a servant today, I found. To me, it seems like there's not many applications being handed in for that position to be a servant. You don't see lines being formed to help others. We're too busy thinking about ourselves. That's so tragic. Most of us are stuck on the me channel, and God does not broadcast, transmit, or receive on the me channel. Mark 10:45 said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Verse 2 says, of 2 Peter 1 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and of Jesus our Lord." 10 plus 10 is 20. But if you multiply those two 10s, you get 100. Multiplication is so much better. If I had $100 right now, and anyone listening, that if I gave you $50 of that 100, would I have 100 left? No, I'd have 50 and you'd have 50, or as much as you'd. But if I gave you my love, all the love I had, how much love would you have? You'd have all you could receive. And how much love would I have? I would have no less. As a matter of fact, I would have more. Heard a story one time about a man that had a flat. He did not have a jack. And a man stopped to help him, and he said, "Could I help you?" And he said, "Yeah, I've got a flat, but I have no jack." The man said, "I've got a jack, and I'll help you." And he helped him fix the flat. And the man that received the help said, "Let me pay you. What can I do for you?" And the man said, "I don't want any pay." He said, he just kept insisting to pay the man. And the man that did that help said, "If you want to pay me, you go find you 10 people that has a flat and no jack, and you help them. And you tell those 10 to help 10. You see how that goes? The world would be a better place." Verse 3 says, "According to his divine power, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." Verse 4 says, "Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust." We have a fleshly nature, the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth nature, and some of it might have come from our mother and some of it might have come from our father. But if we got our divine nature, it did come from our Father, our Heavenly Father. He said in that scripture that we were given exceeding great and precious promises, and he uses, like I said, that word precious over and over, but the promises. I thought about Abraham, 99 years old, I believe he was, and his wife, Sarah, she was 90, and God told him that he's going to have children, it would be so many, and he had trouble getting a hold of that promise, so God took him and showed him the stars and told him to count them. And of course he couldn't. He said, "That's how many your descendants are going to be." A promise. The stars. That was the outward promise of what God had outward. It was a covenant, a contract. And that was Abraham's sign. To me, it's an outward token of an inward contract as a wedding ring. A wedding ring is an outward token of a promise that was made inward. In verse 5, he says, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the woman with the issue of blood, she pressed through the crowd and touched Jesus' garment. He said, "Who touched me?" And they said, "Master, it could have been anybody. Why you say, who touched me?" But he felt virtue go out. I believe if you have virtue, you'll see needs of somebody else. You'll feel the need, whether it's a need for money or a pat on the back or whatever. Verse 6 says, "And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." Proverbs 25:28 said, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." You remember Jericho. They had walls built. In Joshua, they blew the trumpets and shouted, and the walls came down. If you don't have the walls of your heart and soul built up through temperance, people will run over you. You have no defense. They'll just come right on over the wall. Verse 7 says, "Into godliness, brother, kindness, and to brother, the kindness, charity." My mother is an example to me of kindness. If I were to go to my mother's house, She lives in a bad area of Huntsville. It used to be good when we grew up, but it's kind of got bad, and I worry about her. But if I went and knocked on her door at 2 o'clock in the morning, she wouldn't come to the door and chew me out. What do you mean by coming here at this time of the morning? You've scared me half to death. Instead, she'd say, baby, you must be something wrong. You come on in, I'll make us a cup of coffee, and we'll talk about this, and it'll get better. I knew a man in our church years ago. He's passed away now, that he always had a smile, and there was a man that didn't have salvation, and he thought he'd test that smile. And he went and knocked on the door about 2 o'clock in the morning, I think it was, and the man came to the door with a smile on his face. That's what we need, a smile for every occasion that we can. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his own sin. Samson got blind. He got blind spiritually. It looked like that he could have seen what that woman was up to, but he didn't, and they gouged his eyes out. If I was preaching at our church and I got struck blind at the pulpit, I believe I could get out the door because I'm right in the middle of the aisle. If I was just a little bit to the left, about 2 feet, or to the right, about 2 feet, I'm going to encounter the benches. So keep it straight in the road, and you can make it on through. Verse 10 says, for the rather, brethren, given diligence, make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, charity never faileth. I just love a can't-miss plan, don't you? That's what I'm after. Verse 11, for a sentence shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. An entrance, an opening, a doorway. It's a way of coming in or going out. Romans 5:1-2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God our Lord, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In verse 6 it says, but faith which worketh by love. That's how we have access. Verse 12 says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Remembrance, remembering is repeated over and over. And so is the word precious. But remembering, when our remembrance leaves, that's when the blindness sets in. When our remembrance leaves, the enemy ushers in blindness. I've got an iPhone and I have alarm 3 times every day to remind me to be thankful and to remember and to pray. Joshua 4:5-7 says, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take up every man a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this might be a sign among you, that your children shall, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, what meaneth these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Parted the Jordan like he did the Red Sea, and he didn't want them to forget that. He don't want you or me. He don't want me to forget those things he's done for you. Verse 14 says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Verse 15 says, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Peter uses remembering and precious over and over. That tells me that they must be important. Verse 16 says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17 says, for he received from the God the Father honor and glory, where there came such a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. In today's terms, God said, this is my boy. This is my boy. And I love him and I'm proud of him. Verse 19 says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, wherein 2, you do well that you take heed as a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We're not the light. John said he wasn't the light, but Jesus is the light. We can't shine on our own. We're like the moon. We just are illuminated from another light source. The only reason we shine is if God's shining on us. Verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but of holy men of God, as they spake on, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I hope this word's helped you today. I hope it's something that you need. I've always felt like a person can make it if they're thankful enough. We get down in our closets and we pray, or wherever we pray. And most of it's spent trying to convince God what to do. But what we're supposed to do when we're down there is get God's will for our life. We're not trying to change God. We're trying to change ourselves. Try sometime just getting down. Instead of asking God for something, just thank Him. I'm sure you're not going to get through the prayer. I've never been able to make it, if any, just thanking Him. That's what I love to do. But somewhere along the way, I think of something I need. And my prayer today is that we all can make it. May God wonderfully bless you. Until we meet here next time at this same time, my prayer to God is that as many as can make it. Please phone or text or email any comments to Dale Cantrell at 256-508-4410 or email dalecantrell2@gmail.com. That's DaleCantrell, the number 2, @gmail.com. If this has helped you at all, I'd like to know. I'd like to have some feedback. And let me know what portions of it are helping you and what portions are not as helpful. Meridianville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Steger Road in Meridianville, Alabama, 35759. But if you have any notes or letters, it should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama, 35750. If you do not live near the Meridianville area but would still be interested in attending the service at another Holiness Church, then contact me and Dale Cantrell, and I'll get you the nearest church location closest to where you're at. If you would like to come and visit us, and if you just want to stay through the singing and then need to leave, we won't feel bad at you at all. We'll try to make you feel as welcome as we know how to feel. And my prayers that this has helped you. May God wonderfully bless you. Till next time.